May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our God, our strength, and our Redeemer.
Amen.
St. John's University is apparently known for being a theological school where intellectualism is highly regarded. Someone wrote the following graffiti on one of the walls there. Jesus said unto them, "Who do you say that I am?" And they replied, "You are the scatological manifestation of the ground of our being, the curriculum in which we find our ultimate meaning in our interpersonal relationships." And Jesus said, "What?" Now, I can understand how hard it is for anyone to come up with one specific definition for who Jesus is. After all, Billy Sunday, the great evangelist, once noted there are 256 names in the Bible for the Lord Jesus Christ, and I suppose this was because he was infinitely beyond all that any one name could express. Our gospel lesson today takes us to the district of Caesarea Philippi, an area about 25 miles northeast of the Sea of Galilee, about 120 miles from Jerusalem. This region was strongly identified with various religions. It had been a center for Baal worship. The Greek god Pan had sharp shrines there, and Herod the Great had built a temple there to honor Augustus Caesar. It was in the midst of this pagan superstition that Peter confessed Jesus as the Son of God. Jesus looked at his disciples and in a moment of reflection said to them, "Who do people say that I am?" The disciples began sharing with Jesus what they had heard from the people who had been with and following Jesus. Some say you are Elijah. Others say John the Baptist. Still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. It has always been this way. Jesus, as seen by the masses, is seen in so many different ways. You can speak of Jesus as a prophet, a holy man, a teacher, or a spiritual leader, and few will object. But speak of him as Son of God, divine, of the same nature as the Father, and people will line up to express their disapproval. After questioning the disciples about their beliefs, he questioned them about the people's beliefs. He questioned them about their beliefs. He asked the disciples, "But what about you? Who do you say that I am?" I can imagine things getting very quiet, kind of like in a classroom where no one knows the answer to the question and everyone is afraid the teacher is going to call on them. Then Peter responds by saying, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." In his answer, Peter was saying a whole lot about Jesus. He was saying that he knew Jesus was more than John the Baptist, more than the prophet like Elijah. He knew Jesus was connected to God himself. So Peter calls him Savior, Lord, Son of God. Peter knew Jesus was unique. Peter was coming to trust and believe in Jesus more and more. Jesus saw past the man and saw the divinity hidden in Jesus. So he could cry out, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." This confession that Peter made in Matthew 16:16 is basically the statement of faith. There is no mistaking the importance and the meaning of that confession. In some churches, this is known as the Good Confession. Now we'll go back to Peter's confession and note a lot of things happening. Jesus responds and said, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven." More controversy has swirled around Jesus' next statement than almost any other in the gospel. He said, "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." The question is, who or what is this rock? Part of the problem arises from the fact that the Greek words for Peter and for rock are very similar, but the meanings are different. The first, Petros, Peter, means stone or loose rock, a pebble. Such as the second, Petra, means a rock, such as a rocky ledge or bedrock. So what Jesus is really saying is, "You are Peter, a stone, and on this rock, a solid foundation, I will build my church." He did not say he would build his church on a stone, but on a rock. If Peter is not the rock, then what is? If we stick to the context, the obvious answer is that the rock is Peter's confession that Jesus is the Son of the living God, the truth on which the church is founded. Ephesians 2:20 teaches that the church is built on Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. It's stated that we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. It refers not to them, but to the foundation laid in their teachings concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is spoken of as a rock in 1 Corinthians 10:4. If we trace the figurative use of the word rock through Hebrew scriptures, we find that it is never symbolically used of a man, but always of God. So here at Caesarea Philippi, it is not upon Peter that the church is built. Jesus did not trifle with figures of speech. He took up the old Hebrew religion illustration, rock, always the symbol of deity. He said, upon God himself, Christ, the Son of the living God, I will build my church. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 3:11, 15, no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. But if it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one standing to flames. Jesus is our foundation. That means we need to build on him. That means we need to do something to further the kingdom of God. The good confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, means nothing if we're not willing to act upon what we say. I found this illustration on the internet. Don recently told this story. He was attending church, gave his tithe every week, greeted people, and prayed. But then one day he got a visit from the preacher. The preacher sat down with Don, talked with him a little while, and then said, Don, are you going to wither on the vine? What do you mean by that, Don asked. You're not doing anything. You're just coming and sitting in church. When are you going to do something with your faith? When are you going to step up to the plate and serve Jesus? Another way of asking that would have been, when are you going to start building on the foundation of Jesus? Now, going to church is important. And praying is important. Praying is what we do because we're God's people. And tithing is important. If you don't give our tithes, it's going to be hard to keep the doors of the church open. Saying Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God means more than having the right theology. It means doing something. It means building on the foundation of what I say I believe about Jesus. So saying Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, is part theology, theological belief, and it is part physical involvement, acting upon what we say we believe. Jesus is the Son of the living God, and he is a merciful and just Savior who is looking for followers to share his message of love and grace. That is the message that the church's foundation is built upon. If you want to see Christ's church grow, that is the foundation we have to build upon in our witness, in our words, and in our deeds. And even now, he calls us into closer relationship with him and one another. And I want to say something else. We as Episcopalians are often guilty of being afraid of offending someone, that we generally keep our faith to ourselves. We often assume that being good is all we need to be. But being a Christian is not simply about being a good person. It's not about us. It is indeed not about who follows Jesus. Rather, it's all about Jesus, whom we follow. A Christian is a person who has recognized who Jesus is and then has decided to follow him. Just answer in your hearts the simple question from the Master himself. Who do you say that I am? Your answer will affect the way you live your life.